there's even carryover to our building recently. It is being transformed from glory to glory. I want to thank all of you who have invested a lot of time and energy. Yeah. I mean, these are the things that make me smile when I come and see a dumpster that full. That's a glorious thing. I'm all about purging, so purgation, let it be. And with that being said, there's yet more wonderful stuff that you can take home. It's in the gym, and so after service, just take a quick walk, and there might be something that catches your attention. And, of course, you need more stuff, right? So we'd be glad to help you with that. So that is an ongoing thing. And Liz, are you in here or Kelly? Of course, the servants are serving. Okay. But that's a dynamic duo, by the way. If you haven't seen the kitchen, that's by and large. And there's others, so I don't mean to omit anybody, but by and large, that's their handiwork. And so give them a thumbs up, okay? All right. Well, today it's my privilege to have a brother whom I love and one of our small group leaders, a great speaker, Josh Peterson, one of our leaders, going to come and share the word with us today. So let's thank God for him.
Okay, so actually starting out, just one more announcement. The God Squad Vogel Appreciation Dinner is going to be this Friday at 6:30. So those of you who have kids in God Squad or have been in God Squad, this is for you and for appreciating the Vogels. So again, Friday at 6:30. It is an Italian-themed meal, and please bring appropriate sides and desserts. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get going here. Almighty God, I just pray for your hand on this message, Lord, that you would speak to your church, and that it be for the uplifting and growing of your body. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we'll start out with the lead verse here. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So this is something that's been kind of growing in my heart and over some extended period of time. I've historically thought of, you know, the picture of Christ and the church, marriage being that picture, as you know, a picture for the surrounding world, which it certainly is. But something that has surprised me as I've gone along is the picture that it is to me of what, you know, things that I learn in marriage that I go, you know, actually I need to be doing that same thing in my relationship with Christ, and sometimes vice versa. But anyway, it's been a source of great learning and great encouragement for me, and so I kind of wanted to share some of that and talk it through with you all. So starting out, I want to step back. I guess something else that's been a growing understanding for me is how big a deal marriage actually is. So let's read this Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So, hold on, I'm nursing the backside of a cold. That's not a good phrase, sorry. okay, so what I've seen here is that marriage was part of God's good creation from the beginning. And more than that, part of his overarching plan for his good earth. So this whole section here, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. So that is an extension of God making man in his image. God is relational. As the Trinity, he existed in relationship with the members of the Trinity from ever. And he made us in his image to have relationships and to share in that image, and also expand the his reign over the earth. And so the good plan from the beginning is a guy and a girl will leave their parents and join in marriage and start another family, and then that will expand throughout the earth. And so you have all of these relationships, all of this image of God just, right, multiplying through the earth. That's God's good plan, and that good plan is baked into the world he created. Yes, we see the fall and we see the effects of the fall all around us, but this did not change. Marriage being his good blessing, families being how he intends for children to be brought up and understanding God's ways. It's his good plan from the beginning. And so no small thing. And so we can see in Habakkuk 2, verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So this is really while Israel is kind of falling apart, we see God's plan hasn't changed. It is still that he wants to see his glory and reflections of himself all around the globe. So then we have here in marriage this picture of Christ and the church, which is, again, a part of this good plan. And as such, the enemy has attacked marriage relentlessly to the point that there are many in our society that have truly no idea what a good relationship looks like. So this is kind of the overall scope of I want to talk about. God's given us a good layout for what does a good marriage look like, and I'd kind of like to talk about that a little bit, because again, there has been so much deceit and just disruption that I think a lot of it gets lost. I'll be using the lead verse as our guide as we kind of look through this. So a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. So some versions have that as the man leaves the father and mother and cleaves to his wife. And since that rhymes, we're going with that one. So leaving. A lot of issues in marriage come from a lack of leaving. I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. Throughout this sermon, I'm going to be flip-flopping between talking about marriage and how does that relate to our relationship with Christ. Again, it is an image, and it's something that you see these parallels over and over and over again, and it's a marvelous thing. The verse here, Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So we see both in our Christian walk and in marriage, when you go from not being married to being married, when you go from not being a Christian to being a Christian, things must change. Things must be different. And again, there are a lot of issues that come up in marriage due to a lack of this. I thought things just could continue as they were. No, they cannot. And so I want to look at a few of these things. So again, having to do with leaving, Luke 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, again, Jesus is not talking about, you know, go hate your wife because you're a Christian, but it's where is your allegiance? What is most important? And again, when you become a Christian, Christ must be the most important. When you get married, your wife must be more important than other relationships, than other things going on. Another disclaimer. I view marriage from the point of a husband, so I'll end up saying your wife or things like that. Please bear with me. It's your spouse if you're a wife, so thank you. So a few things that I've recognized that can damage marriages because of a lack of leaving. Two of them are what I'll call the home wreckers. The most typical sense of the phrase home wrecker. When I was a young man, recently started working, there was another young man that worked there, and I was talking to him one day, and he seemed kind of distraught. And I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm losing my mind." "All right, what's going on?" "Well, okay, so I had an affair, and I'm done with that. I'm done with that. But that lady works here, and between her and my wife, I am losing my mind. I get off of work, and 5 minutes later, my wife's calling me, 'Where are you at?' And then this lady, she keeps coming and like, 'Hey,' and I'm losing my mind." I talked with this guy, and we talked about Christ, and it was good. But as I got to know him, the chaos this poor man has introduced in his life, turns out that his wife left her husband to be with him. Some years later, he came to me absolutely shattered. "My wife left me, she had an affair, and she's gone." Guys, the chaos that our world has let loose, telling everybody, do whatever feels good, go for it. And these are the effects. And they don't show that. You know, go watch a movie and everybody's happy and good, and it's not. And the pursuit of me first, I'm going to get whatever I want, makes it all the more likely that people like this young man won't end up in a relationship that he really wants of a lifelong somebody that knows me and loves me and we're going to be together. More and more and more it becomes, well, that's going to be a challenge as he makes decisions like this. So don't take it for granted. It's no joke. The other, we got a verse. Song of Solomon, 8, verse 6. "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are the flashes of fire. the very flame of the Lord. Again, it's no joke. Okay, the other one that I would call a home wrecker would be addictions. Alcohol, drugs, porn, gambling. Things that over and over and over again, you're telling your spouse, I care about this more than you. And I get it. There is that hold that sin can have on you. And what I can say is, declare war. It takes every ounce of everything within you, and then some. And it is not a fight you can win. You need Christ, and you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not let Satan back you into a corner. Oh, you can't talk with anybody about that. They'd be so. I mean, you should be ashamed, and they'll just think you're a monster. And that's where Satan wants us to be, is backed into a corner so he can beat us again and again. Be free. Don't live in it. Don't let that wreck your relationship. Don't let that wreck your relationship with the Lord. James 4, verse 4 through 6. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? All right, so I actually have the Message version of that because I think it makes more sense. That said, it kind of takes some liberalities, so that's kind of when I wanted to have both. But anyway, the Message version. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. Okay, you all still with me here? Okay, so that's the more heavy-hitting stuff. We'll move on from there. Okay, so there are a few other things that I've seen that also do cause issues. They're good things in and of their own right, but when they're not in their proper place, they create problems. Family of origin. So your parents, your spouse's parents, siblings. I think we've all seen marriages where those relationships have an outsized influence on the marriage. They influence decisions that should be the spouse's communicating, and yet here's mom giving a guilt trip and influencing what's going on. And this does end up being an unhealthy thing. So something to be watchful of. In all of this, again, what you should be looking at is where is my alignment? Am I aligned toward my spouse, or are other things pulling me this way and that? Friends. I've certainly seen, guys where the time with the boys, well, that becomes every Thursday evening, frequently weekends, and you talk to the wife, and she's absolutely stressed out, all these young kids underfoot, and where'd her husband go? Oh, well, he's hanging out with his friends, right? Time with friends, like, that is important. But discuss that with your spouse. Don't just like, gotta go. Discuss and make sure that both of you are on the same page of what's going on and that it's equitable. Okay. Work. This one's a challenging one. we've got to work, and work makes demands on our time. I think we've all seen the people that take that too far, and they're always gone. And when they're not gone, then they have their laptop or their cell phone, and they're not really there, right? So again, where is your allegiance? Not only regarding your spouse, but how about your relationship with Christ? Again, these things go hand in hand. So if your spouse is coming to you saying, look, this is out of control, we never see you, something to do then is to sit down and talk. Okay, well, this is where it's at. This is what is required. So are we saying there's a different job that needs to happen? Because I doubt I'll be making the same amount. Are we going to be okay with that? But again, these are discussions that need to be made as a couple. Far too often, it seems like people are just kind of like, well, I'm doing this thing and I'm going this way. Well, you're married. There is a unity that should be there, and that involves discussion. And then, okay, we've discussed, we've prayed, we've come to a conclusion. Now we are heading this way. Okay, children. So I guess we've all seen the families where the children are the sole focus and everything that's going on in that family. You need to be jealously guarding your relationship with your spouse. Particularly when you have lots of young kids, this can be a true challenge. Something that was shared with me that has been a blessing to us is what they called couch time. I come home from work, and me and my wife sit on the couch for 10, 15 minutes, and we talk. Kids can wait. Dinner can wait. It'll be okay. And that's been a true blessing to us over the years. Also, again, while you have small kids, throw a picnic in a basket, go to a park, sit there and eat, let the kids go play on the playground, and you and your spouse talk. It doesn't have to be, let's go spend lots of money. There are economical ways to spend time together, and it is that important. And again, how about your time with Christ? If things are busy and there's all this stuff dragging on you, are you pulling aside and spending time with Him? It is that important. Look for that and do it. Okay, cleaving. Okay, so now we're getting down to the sage marital advice. So if you all got your pens, be ready. Here we go. This comes down to time spent together. Talking to each other. All right, we're good. All right, so this is so important that God built it into His laws for the people of Israel. Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. When a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. Just spending time together. It's a big deal. Now, there are a few other things that I've found important in making sure that me and my wife are united and moving together. making big decisions together. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but if you're talking about big decisions and you disagree, pray together, and talk about it some more. And keep at that, come back at it later, whatever. Make those decisions together. It should be both of you going, yes, this is what we are doing. And similarly, in your relationship with Christ, as you're approaching a large decision, are you talking with him about it? Are you seeking his will? Are you discussing, well, where would you have me go? It should be a decision that you're making and going, okay, we are heading this way. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Resolve your difficulties quickly. If something truly is bugging you, don't sit and wait thinking, oh, well, it's probably going to go away. It won't. And instead, it will sit there and become this big thing, and you'll blow up one day. Don't wait. Talk with your spouse, preferably not at a time when that just happened and you're irate, but talk with them. Hey, this is going on. This has been bugging me. What can we do? When you're talking about things like this, do not beat around the bush. Don't hint at things. Be gentle, but be direct. There are definitely times where I thought we had discussed something and it was resolved and we're all good, and come to find out later, I had kind of, well, you know, it's kind of this thing, and, you know, don't you agree? And, oh, yeah. And she didn't know what I was talking about. Be gentle, but do be direct and discuss it. Okay, when you have arguments, this is something that I have found tremendously helpful, and unfortunately don't always remember to do. But recognize, hey, I'm getting heated. This is kind of getting to be a hotter topic. Hey, can we pray about this? I'm telling you guys, it's a big deal. Slowing down, stepping back, and praying about it. I've seen a few things out of that. One being, there are times where Betsy is talking with God about the issue that we were having a disagreement about. And as she's talking with God, I'm seeing a different part of her heart that I hadn't recognized. And I go, oh, I see, that is kind of a big deal to her. It's huge. Secondly, it is both of us pulling aside and saying, okay, God, we disagree on this. You know what's the best way. You know what's right. And it takes us from a disagreement to seeking the one who has the answer. Again, I can't recommend it more highly. And again, unfortunately, I don't always remember to do that, but good stuff. Okay, beyond that, regarding cleaving, get to know your spouse. Don't think, okay, well, we dated, and now we're married, and we've been married for a while, therefore, I know this person. Spend time together and get to know your spouse. Get to know what they like. Find ways to participate in things that make them happy. Now, here is a huge one that kind of has a parallel to my relationship with Christ. Get to know what pleases him. Get to know what makes him happy and say, I want to be a part of that. I'm getting in on this. right? But how often do I not? Matthew 25, verse 23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Find ways to enjoy spending time together. Don't live your life with, she kind of does her thing, I kind of do mine. Really, work at it. Find ways to enjoy spending time together. And again, this has a direct application to our life with the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 8. "My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.'" So good. Okay, what is this? So I don't have this whole section on your notes, but I'm going to be reading Genesis 2, verses 22 through 24. "And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'At last, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" So for quite a while, I was kind of mystified by the "for this reason." I sit here and I go, okay, so he was excited to finally have another human. I found a human, let's get married, right? Something's off. As I've read it more, I think by far this that's being pointed at is the absolute joy and enthusiasm that Adam has. This is the person I want to spend my life with. Right? And that is something that we need to jealously guard in our marriages. The word that I've heard used that I find fantastic is cherish. Pay attention to, what are those things that my spouse does that really are a huge benefit, and I appreciate those, right? Pay attention to that and thank them for it, right? I come home and there's a hot meal. I know for a fact not everybody has that, and I appreciate it. It is phenomenal. But, could I walk in and be like, well, this is expected. This is the way it should be, right? Well, let's be grateful. Right? And so look at your relationship with Christ. What does he do over and over and over again? And we just take it for granted. Guys, if you stop and take a look, those things are innumerable. So spend time. Think about it. Thank him for it. And enjoy what he's given you. Song of Solomon 3, verse 4. "I have found the one whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go." And similarly, again, for our Christian walk, Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it." Philippians 3, verse 8. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." All right, so again, these things go hand in hand. You should be seeking for ways to value and appreciate your spouse, and most certainly you should be doing the same in your walk with Christ. So one thing that makes me particularly sad is I watch some couples and they just don't pursue each other. Like, they just kind of go through life, and I sit there and go, what, do they have any idea what they're missing? And what for, right? Like, you know, yes, it takes effort, it takes work, but pursue each other, enjoy each other. It is good. And similarly, the number of Christians that I see, and myself at times, more frequently than what I'd like, am I pursuing Christ? You know, but what am I missing out on? And really, what for? He is so good. And the benefits that we get are just unbelievable. And yet, so often we're just kind of, let's not do that. All right. Proverbs 5, verses 18 and 19. Enjoy the wife you married as a young man, lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted. So my greatest joy in marriage comes when I set myself aside and I rejoice in my wife. I look for how can I delight her in something small, something big, and see the joy and go, right? Like, that is my biggest joy in marriage. And my biggest joy in life is when I set myself aside and I seek out, what does God want? What makes him happy? Let me do those things, right? So I loved this verse, Psalm 65, verses 3 through 8, just talking about just enjoying God. Though we are overwhelmed by our sins, you forgive them all. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in your holy courts. What festivities await us inside your holy temple. You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, O God our Savior. You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. So, cherish. Cherish the Lord. Cherish your spouse. That is the heart of leaving and cleaving. Don't take things for granted. And enjoy. God's good. God's good. All right. Thank you.
All right, let's stand. What a warm, anointed, substantial message, and just the perfect illustration that God gave to just briefly reiterate the mystery. The mystery is that we human beings can connect with the Creator. That's the mystery. And Jesus is part of that because he became one of us, and he connects us. And then as Christians, now we are married to him. And he even gave this object lesson called marriage way back in the beginning, which is a means. It's an important thing, of course. It's something that some of us have experienced, some of us not yet, perhaps. But that in and of itself is a means to this end. That displays the mystery, as our brother shared. And so marriage is like a paradigm to understand how to relate with God. Well done, brother. That was awesome. And so, of course, we got two things to consider today. If you're married, which I would say is maybe 50% of this audience, you know, ask God to help, repent, or if you're doing well, continue in those ways and be a blessing in that season, because it's till death do we part. and there's no marriage in heaven because he is the groom and we're the bride. That is the relationship. Then the second thing is, and more importantly, not to take away from the season of husband and wife, but of course our relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit's main emphasis, I guarantee today, was to provoke us all. If we're not seeking how to pursue the Lord, how to be a blessing, what pleases him, and to continue to grow that relationship, to nourish, to cherish that relationship. That is the huge matter that the Lord wants to help us with today. And so if we could close our eyes for just a moment, because there might be some here that are not yet married to Jesus. You're not a Christian. And Jesus wants you to be a part of the bride. He wants you to be with him forever. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe in who he is and what he did for us, dying on the cross, paying the price for our sins so that we could stand right before God and have him as a father. If you're here today and you've not yet believed in Jesus, just between you and I want to remember you in prayer. Just raise your hand. God cares for you. He's here for you. There's no such thing as waiting to get right. Jesus already came and did that. Believe on Jesus and you shall be saved. And then brothers and sisters, today you just want to recommit. And you might be in a very healthy connection, marital relationship with Jesus, or you might be on the unhealthy side, and just, Lord, help, wherever you're at. And you just want to commit, to refresh. The Spirit's gracious. Spirit gave us a very warm and provoking message through his vessel today. So much like the Holy Spirit, just gently prodding, wanting to give us mercy and grace before we hit harsh discipline. That is the way of God. And you just want to renew today. Lord, help me to continue in this way. Help me to improve. Help me to be sensitive and to hear your voice and not harden my heart. Just come on down to the front today and we'll close out as a church family. Pray here. This is the most important marriage. And our groom is coming soon. We want to be the wise brides. We want to be the wise ones that are sensitive and concerned about our relationship, not just assuming that everything's great. Because that oil can diminish, our zeal and our vigor can wane. Our love can grow cold. Father, we thank you so much for giving us the good word through the Holy Spirit, through the vessel that you prepped. And I know that this has been a seed that's been in his heart for a while. And this seed now has been planted into our hearts. And this word will not return void. And so today, Lord, we make a choice to receive with grace this implanted word, which is able to save our souls, to deliver us from a lot of our own foolishness and the consequences of being rebellious and defiant or just self-centered. Help us, Lord, to consider you and to seek as how to please you, to spend time with you, and forgive us for our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And Lord, also for our church family, as a corporate group, may this church family have a healthy marital connection with you. Jesus, as you considered seven churches and some were found lacking. So Lord, as you look at this particular local church, let us, God, bring pleasure to you. Let us be a blessing to you and to pursue you, to seek you, and seek how to be a blessing to each other. And we thank you, God, for what you've done, washing us with the water of the word this day. And all glory to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Godspeed to you. Blessings.